My name is Charlotte Frayne. I'm a private investigator with T. Gilmore & Associates, Suite B, 3rd floor, the Yonge Street Arcade, Toronto. In fact, I am the only associate. I was already employed in the office as a secretary and general odds body, but Mr. Gilmore and I got along well. And one day, in his usual courteous way, he said, "If you could consider getting your private investigator's license, Miss Frayne, I'd rather like, honored if you would join the company." I accepted without a moment's hesitation. So far, it has been the best job I'd ever had. Flexible hours, decent wages, a considerable measure of independence. That I particularly like. Because there's just the two of us, my previous duties continue. I answer the phone, type reports, tidy up, sweep the floor. Mr. Gilmore makes the coffee. We determined early on that he does a better job than I do. The work of a private investigator can be tedious. It can be exciting, running the gamut from lost jewelry, lost dogs, to lost people. Sometimes the cases are profound. Sometimes they are excruciatingly superficial. What we call our bread and butter work are the divorce cases, gathering evidence for grounds for the termination of marriage, mostly real. Or apparent adultery. We don't judge, we just investigate. That sounds so objective and above all, doesn't it? But believe me, it isn't always easy to maintain that position. In his typical, slightly pedantic fashion, Mr. Gilmore had warned me that domestic situations, as he referred to them, could often be unpleasant. "Like breathing in the foul air that exudes from a sewer," was how he'd put it. "Estranged couples can build up a lot of odoriferous bitterness." The case I want to tell you about wasn't a domestic as such, although for sheer intensity and depth of feeling, it could hardly be equaled. For me, it began on a stiflingly hot morning in July. The genesis, however, occurred some 19 years earlier, 1918. Like a drop of blood in a bowl of water, the stain rippled through the years until now, eventually touching my boss, Mr. Gilmore, his wife, Ida, his neighbors, me, and of course the four men who had been prisoners together in a miserable German POW camp during the last year of the war. The conflict had been going on for almost 4 years. Nobody knew when hostilities would ever end, and by now the Germans had barely enough food to feed their own men. They weren't about to be generous with the enemy they had taken prisoner. The four friends were slowly starving. Me, I'm not sure I'd want to even think about food, but they did. Not only did they think about it, they talked about it, constantly. Night after night, as they lay on their hard cots in the cold, stinking barracks where they were crammed, they would talk about food. Particularly about meals they had loved as children. The details were savored, the way that original food had been savored.
"First, my mom would saw off thick slices of fresh, crusty bread that was still warm from the oven. Then she'd slide on the fried egg. The yolk was a deep golden yellow, the color of the warm sun sitting over the fields in the morning. Next, she added a strip of crisp, pink bacon, thick as your thumbnail. On top of that, she'd pour ever so gently a dollop of steaming, baked beans, brown as acorns, that she'd been cooking overnight in molasses and sugar. 'Here you go,' she'd say. 'Get that down you.' Then she'd stand back with that big smile of hers and watch while we ate. The sandwich was so thick you could hardly get your mouth around it, but you would. And when you took that first bite, the thin, shiny skin on the egg would break, and the yellow yolk ran down your chin. And you'd lick it off. It was paradise."
The four lads survived the war, went their ways. But many years later, they came back together. Out of work, not too happy with life, they decided to start up a little cafe on Queen Street. They called it the Paradise Cafe. All right then. Sit back, get comfortable. I'm going to tell you the story of that cafe and what happened that scorching week in July. The Paradise Cafe, Heat Wave. There's a place where they know your name, and all you have to do is say you'll have the same. It's called the Paradise Cafe. By the time I reached the office, sweat was trickling down the back of my neck and my stockings were plastered to my legs. To my surprise, Mr. Gilmore was already at his desk. He usually didn't get in until 9 at the earliest. As soon as I opened the door, he stood up and came to meet me. He looked terrible.